5-Hour Tea with caffeine from green tea leaves. It's delicious, energizing, and comes in 3 amazing flavors. With 0 sugar and 4 calories, it fits your life. With its compact size and portability, it goes where you go, to the campsite, the hiking trail, the beach, without weighing you down. 5-Hour Tea, caffeine from green tea leaves. Release your natural side from the makers of 5-Hour Energy. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
This February, history will be made. Millions will watch as 80 years of unjust stigma is left in the past. A product that drove good people to the black market will be revealed as one that's creating a new global market. This February, what inspired this symbol of counterculture will at long last be seen as just culture. The new normal is coming. Will you be one of the first to see it? Visit MedMen.com to watch an exclusive preview.
This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Hollywood's bad guy, and so much more. Actor, talent manager, producer, and more. Now he's sitting down with today's top newsmakers from entertainment, politics, pop culture, and beyond. This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
Oh, all right. Howdy, howdy, everyone. Welcome to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. This is your host, Mr. Jasper Cole, and I'm so excited. We're here in Hollyweird, California at Temple Bay Studios. It's our new show. Big shout out to my producer, Mr. J.W., John Williams.
Hey, Jasper.
How are you, buddy?
I'm pretty good. It's
good to see
October,
you.
October.
This
fall.
Weather's amazing. Right?
Are you adjusting to...
I love it. I came in from... Well, Palm Springs is really nice, too. Like 85 during the day, 65 at night.
I just don't like it getting dark so soon.
That's true. Anyway, on a different note, please, everyone, follow us on social media at One-on-One.
What does your morning sound like? That's Daddy's little man.
Morning, Daddy. Grabbed your usual from Mickey D's.
Here's to making your morning routine a little better with a delicious breakfast from McDonald's.
Start your day at McDonald's with a refreshingly bold large McCafe iced coffee for just $2. Price and participation may vary for a limited time. Cannot be combined with any other offer or any combo meal.
One with J. Cole. One-on-One J. Cole is Twitter and Instagram, mm-hmm. and Facebook, One-on-One with Jasper Cole, or you can go to my website, jaspercole.com, and there's links to the show. And I want to say thanks to everyone. We had such a great response to our last podcast, which was our kickoff series on the homeless epidemic in L.A., especially in L.A., but across the country.
Yeah.
We had Georgia Kylenberg, which was great. And
awesome, yeah.
And so we had mentioned that we're going to do an ongoing series. So I wanted to be sure and welcome our special guest today, Mr. Franklin Abrams. Hello, buddy.
Hello, how are you doing?
Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
Yes. So we had talked last week about wanting to show all the different faces of homelessness and what's happened in the community. And we had been mentioning that we wanted to find an actual live person who has been homeless, lived to tell about it, is thriving, but more importantly, was able to take advantage in a good way of the services that are available.
And navigate the system.
That's the key words. Navigate the system, because it can be overwhelming. So
it is.
Yeah. So first of all, welcome to the show. And thank you so much for
wanting to
share your story with everybody. And I know it's going to help a lot of people. JW and Franklin have been friends for a long time.
Yeah. It's been a while.
But it's been a while.
Yeah.
6 years.
Six, seven years.
Yeah.
Well, when JW really came up with this idea of doing the whole series, mm-hmm. and I was, of course, excited about it, he mentioned early on, you know, I have this friend, I think he'd be the perfect person to kick off the series because of your story. And why don't you tell everyone a little bit, if you don't mind, of your journey, how it started, and how you actually found yourself homeless.
Well, I started when I moved away from California and was living in Virginia because my father was sick.
Okay.
And suffering from heart disease. So he wanted me to not wait for him to die.
Sure.
And wanted me to go back to California and start my life over again.
Right.
So I came back and I was dealing with money running out. Mm-hmm. I thought that I would have enough money to sustain myself.
Right. As most, a lot of people do.
Yeah. And it turned out that I didn't.
Did some things happen unexpected, or just looking back now, things that you couldn't foresee that took some of the money?
I thought that I could get a job, and I couldn't understand why I couldn't get a job mm-hmm. at that time. And then that was going to be revealed to me later.
Later. Got it. And so what happens is you find the money running out and you're thinking, what am I going to do? What was your, in looking back in life now, like what had you ever, like a lot of us, we don't think about the homeless situation. You know, we never think we're going to be homeless. Or
well, at first I was occupied with my storage unit mm-hmm. out in Alhambra.
Right.
You know, and maintaining that. And so I spent a lot of time doing that during the day.
Got it.
And then I realized that, you know, I have to keep myself clean mm-hmm. and well taken care of. So I looked up a shelter that was in Pasadena. And I went out there to the shelter, and then I ate. And I would go out three days out of the week just to get a warm shower and
food
and to talk to the case managers.
Okay. And let me ask you, when you say you looked it up, did you go online or did you have on the phone? Because a lot of people, I don't think, even know how to find the...
I connected with the Department of Social Services.
Okay. It's a great step.
Yes.
Because they can then link people up in whatever area they're in.
Right.
And they hooked you up with the Pasadena...
That's correct.
Area. Now, at that point, were you already homeless?
I was already homeless. I was living in my car.
Okay. And how long had that been going on for?
I guess for about 2 or 3 weeks.
Not a long time. But
not a long time.
Yeah.
Altogether, I spent about 6 months in my car.
Okay. Well, thank God
I could get out.
Thank God you had the car.
Yeah, thank God I did have the car.
Because we talked last time about the various mm-hmm. degrees of homelessness. You know, the people who have their car, the ones that have hotels. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this whole population of homeless hotel living. Mm-hmm. There was a word for it. I forgot what we said last week.
I did that too.
You did that too, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the homeless that are really, they don't think about it, but they're like couch surfing mm-hmm. with friends, yeah. but
That's
they don't actually...
Sure. Yeah.
have the place, and then they're the ones who are literally that we see on this.
Pretty much, if you don't have an address registered in your name, you are homeless.
Technically homeless.
Yeah. You're technically homeless.
Does that count like a P.O. box? Because, you know, you can get a P.O. box.
I did have a P.O. box with a determination to live in Hollywood.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I went and opened a P.O. box in Hollywood.
And that gives you an actual address.
Where I live now.
Ironically, right?
Ironically, yeah.
Wow. There are no accidents in life.
There are no.
But for those who don't have access to a P.O. box, you know, to pay for one and so forth, the Department of Social Services does offer for homeless folks the important type of mail, anything dealing with Medi-Cal renewal or your GR, which is your general relief, or anything dealing with your CalFresh food stamps.
Right.
Okay.
So that you can have some correspondence back and forth, and maybe Social Security,
right.
SSI, SSDI.
I did that too.
Okay.
Because I was also receiving SSI at the time.
So you had a bank account?
I had a bank account.
So that can continue and they can directly deposit
into
my account. Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, sorry. So when you connected with the services in Pasadena, so like you said, that gave you a place to groom and shower and have food or whatever.
Right.
But then, like you said, you were thankful to have your car.
I was thankful to have my car. Even though it was difficult because at times I had to deal with break-ins, attempted break-ins.
And how would you know where to park your car or places?
I would park it where the truckers parked in Alhambra.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
You become very resourceful, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. You have to become very resourceful.
But you still end up getting tickets, and if you want to talk about that.
I did get tickets, yeah.
Because?
$35, $60, one was $90.
Parking like on street cleaning?
Sleeping
or?
In my car.
Oh, you get ticketed for being in your car sleeping.
Yes.
Now, see, there's an example of a revelation. I didn't know you could get a ticket for that. Yeah. So there's an example of how is that, how are we helping the homeless when we're actually fining them and ticketing them for living in the only thing they have that's keeping them safe and warm and whatever.
Right.
Would you be in, they would they also talk to you when they're giving you the ticket?
One officer did, said you're not allowed to sleep in your car here. And but most would just leave. I would wake up in the morning and find the ticket.
So they wouldn't actually wake you up or bother you. They would just leave the ticket.
They would just leave the ticket,
So, I mean, the irony is, then I guess if people, if tickets build up, then they can put the boot on your car or they can
go after
you that way.
They can, and I went before a judge, and judge had no compassion at all. It was like, pay the ticket.
Yeah, pay the ticket. I'm homeless and I don't have money, so where are we going to get the money to pay the ticket?
Exactly.
So what did you do, Franklin, in that case?
I eventually, when I was in transitional housing, I met a friend named Jesse. And Jesse loaned me the money to pay the ticket. He also loaned me the money because I was paying for my storage unit in Alhambra. So I didn't have enough money to pay for car insurance.
Right.
So he loaned me the money to pay for car insurance. And then I paid him back. Yeah.
Wow. So from starting to go to the shelter in Pasadena, what other services from there you were able, because you mentioned transitional.
I talked to homeless people and they told me don't go to Skid Row. They said there's a shelter in L.A. located over on Broadway Place. I don't remember the name of it. But I went there and they had parking for my car. And I got a meal. And my goal was to meet with a case manager or a social worker because I could see that people that were homeless and suffering from alcoholism and mental illness and drug abuse, they were getting them housing.
Sort of ahead of other people. I mean, that
ahead
was a priority.
Of other people. Yeah, that was a priority. Yeah.
Right.
So I met with a case manager there. And well, actually, she was a social worker named Sarah. And Sarah, the first thing she did was she got me into a motel in Hollywood.
Okay.
On Sunset for 3 weeks.
Wow. And is that's paid for through with the vouchers or they
with the voucher system? Okay. Yes.
So again, it's most important that people can hook up with a caseworker. That's important, right?
Yes,
to start
it
the
is.
Step, and then that caseworker, how hard or easy is it to get a caseworker? Can that be a whole ordeal itself? Or
I waited during the day.
Okay.
Most of the shelters empty out in the morning.
In the mornings.
After breakfast.
Okay.
And I waited around to see her.
Right.
And at the same time as getting me into the motel, she also had me fill out applications for housing.
Okay.
And one of them was for Hollywood Community Housing Corporation.
Which is where you...
Where I currently reside.
Right. And now, had you already gotten that P.O. box in Hollywood prior to that?
Yes, I did.
So that's the irony we were saying earlier. You had it in your mind you wanted to be in Hollywood, but you ended up in Hollywood.
But the P.O. box wasn't the key ingredient to getting me housing. It was having a phone and a phone number.
That's the other thing, right?
Thankfully, they have the low-cost phone service,
right.
or free, really, now.
Right.
Based if you are qualifying for food stamps or for general relief, you can get a phone, a cell phone. You know, so that's...
And, you know, Franklin is an example, too, of... there was, you know, you're not a drug addict. Mm-hmm. You can meet you and see that you have all your faculties together. And I'm sure a caseworker, you're like a perfect protege. They're thrilled when they meet someone like you because they think, wow, you can really take advantage of the services we offer. Because then if you bring in, because I'm just thinking about looking at Franklin and meeting him, you bring in someone who was extremely mentally ill or drug addicted, left to their own devices, they would have to they would have to do the follow-up calls and all that stuff.
Right. Exactly.
And that's why they don't.
And I was mentally ill. I didn't know it at the time, but I had met with the social worker with the when I met with the doctor over at Skid Row. She also worked at Ranch Raider Clinic over on Mission Road. And she said, come to Ranch Raider Clinic for your medical appointments. And there's free parking and you don't have to worry about your vehicle.
Which is great.
And through her, I met a social worker named Ramona. And I saw her for 4 weeks, once a week.
Okay.
And at the end of the fourth week, Ramona said, we're going to get you into housing, but there's also another issue we need to deal with, and it's your mental health. And she said, I see this, or get the impression that you're struggling with some sort of mental disease. So she said, I need for you to go upstairs with me to the third floor to the psychiatric department. And I've set up an appointment, emergency appointment with you and Dr. Turkin, who was the chief of psychiatry for the county of LA.
Wow.
At that time. And he diagnosed me with schizophrenia.
And prior to that, did you have any idea or had you been having?
I knew that I was having hallucinations and I didn't understand them.
Okay.
And I was also suffering from auditory schizophrenia, where I would hear voices.
Wow. How, for a long, long time had that happened, or just?
It had happened. It started happening when I became homeless.
So maybe the stress, the stress of all that and the fear and the whatever brings that on.
Yes, it did.
But the fact you were able to deal with that and still be lucid and deal.
Dr. Turkin said that I was a functional schizophrenic, which was rare.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then I'm assuming, were you medicated? Were they able to give you?
He immediately prescribed medication for me.
And did you notice an immediate?
It took 6 months.
To really get it leveled.
To get it leveled.
Wow. But see, again, Franklin's a perfect example where the services are there for people. Like, this is what Georgia kept stressing.
The importance of having social workers.
Yeah. Right. And being able to, you know, because Georgia's stressed is, and I think Franklin listened to the show, and for those of you who did not, we talked about how when we encounter homeless people, a lot of times the first thing we want to do is give them food.
Right.
Or money, and she kept saying, you know, there's places for the food and whatever. What they need is the other services that they are not equipped sometimes to know how to get.
They need a connection to care, and it starts with us by being compassionate.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But again, I think you were sort of...
And Ramona was an amazing social worker.
So
she went above and beyond the call of duty.
They're the real angels that are out there.
Yeah.
And they work for the county, right?
They work for the county.
For the county.
Yeah.
Probably overworked,
overworked.
Underpaid.
Yes, underpaid.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing Georgia talked about is how many people there are compared to how many social workers, you know.
How many administrators there are versus the actual people.
So you already had income. I mean, you said you were getting...
I was receiving SSI.
Right. But, you know,
I still am.
You think about, guys, you think about, so someone who has no income...
Right.
That's not getting anything.
Do you know what the...
And the Social Security Administration did discontinue my SSI.
They have discontinued?
They did discontinue.
Oh, they did.
While I was in transitional housing.
And that's a process in itself to get SSI. Oh.
What happened was Dr. Turkin wrote a letter to them saying that I had a dual diagnosis, HIV and schizophrenia.
And did you know about the HIV at the time?
I have been HIV positive for 37 years.
Okay, so that was something you were already dealing with.
Dealing with,
okay.
Yeah.
And you had medical, you had access to medicine then?
Or? Yes, I did.
Okay, yeah. So you already had that
through
taken
work.
Care of. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, there are other people out there who who have the HIV too, and they don't have access to the medications.
Yeah.
Although,
yeah, they don't. Some don't.
There are.
There's the ADAP system.
I know about ADAP. Okay.
Yeah.
That's still happening because, you know, so much got cut, like the Ryan White Act got cut, and depends on which administration comes in or which governor is running California. And so it's been up and down.
Well, things are going pretty good for California.
We're lucky here.
Yeah. We're lucky.
Which is why they're sending a lot of the people here.
Did you already know that when Georgia talked about that last week?
Yes, I did.
You know, she told us.
I work with Pacific Lions Care, who provides assistance for housing for people that are homeless and HIV positive.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to. Yeah, I want to talk about the work you're doing
also,
now.
Also, helping them to get benefits.
Right.
Such as ADAP if they don't qualify.
Right.
For an insurance.
So from what would you say was your biggest... you got into transitional housing. Tell everyone what that is.
Transitional housing is project, well, the transitional housing, there are different types of transitional housing available. The one that I got into was Project New Hope.
Okay.
And Project New Hope has homes throughout LA and Long Beach, Santa Monica, and they provide housing for men who are HIV positive and have AIDS.
Wow. And there's probably a service set up for women also? Or
at the homes, they have a social worker, a psychologist, a nurse, and...
probably everything, right?
And a case manager.
Case manager. And again, for everyone listening, you know, this is these are services that are provided by the county and by the state.
Right.
But that's back to what we were saying. California is known for having such great services that other states are actually sending their homeless, quote unquote, to California.
To California.
They give them the voucher. They put them on the planes or the buses and pay for their trips to come out here to take advantage of... I mean, take advantage in a good way, but partake in the services, but then it just overloads a system that's already overloaded.
That's true.
And I guess the question would be, wouldn't it be nice to have a federal system that just sort of let California be an example how other states, you know, could model
that's
their
true.
Services?
Yes.
And maybe the federal government could kick in funding. Let's just forget about the one we have now, this one. I mean, if we're waiting on Trump to help me, you know what? You're better off homeless.
I'm sorry.
I'm kidding.
He has no compassion.
But yeah, if you just hang on for a little bit longer until we can get rid of him. But assuming we had a normal, sane president, it would be nice to have some sort of federal, something that affected all the states.
Right.
Yeah.
And under Obama, we did.
We did. Right.
Yeah.
There were so many services
we did. Now he's ignored those programs or cut off funding. Trying to control the CDC.
Right.
And other agencies to deal with HIV and AIDS throughout the country and homelessness.
So when you got into your home in Hollywood, from that point, you eventually started working again, right?
I was at transitional housing for 18 months, and then on my birthday, that's why I'm glad I kept my phone.
Yeah.
And the same telephone number, I got a call from Consuelo Lopez, who is director of housing at Hollywood Community Housing Corporation. And she said, "Are you still interested in an apartment?" And I said, yes.
You said, no, I like my car. It's really
no.
Nice. I've gotten used to it.
Right.
No, I'm kidding.
No, she was...
I love that you can remember all of their names, too, which is really important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was calling her on a regular basis.
Got it.
To check on your status?
To check on my status, yeah.
So you're on a waiting list.
So I was on a waiting list, a 7-year waiting list.
Wow.
Oh, ouch.
In 18 months. And she called me on my birthday.
So you were fast-tracked because of your dual diagnosis?
I was fast-tracked because of my dual diagnosis.
Otherwise, it was going to be a seven-year waiting?
Otherwise, it was going
but
to be
as what year as is, it was 18 months?
It was 18 months.
And just so everyone listening gets it, where were you living during those 18 months?
In transitional housing in Long Beach and Powderwise.
Okay, got it. So just so people understand, you weren't mm-hmm. still in your car. That's
no,
what we were saying.
Not.
They provide that initial mm-hmm. transitional, I mean, the place while you were waiting to get to permanent housing.
Right.
And transitional is group housing, so is it you're sharing
a
room?
It's group housing. Okay. You're sharing a room.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then how long after when you got your permanent house did you go back into the workforce?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
And tell everyone what you do now.
I am a facilitator for a Stein Medical PC.
Got it.
And I run a support group every Monday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the organization. And I help people deal with the, what we deal with is HIV, AIDS, and recovery.
And recovery.
Yeah.
Which so much of that goes together now with
it does go
drugs and HIV and
it does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you see, you are truly a success story of from homeless to being thriving and
yes, I am.
Yeah. And I think if I had to say, what do you think was the one thing that kept you going the most, it allowed you to hang in there? You had hope?
I had my friends. When I moved into transitional housing, I didn't have any friends.
Mm-hmm.
I really wasn't in contact with my family.
Right.
And Jesse and Cornell and their families, I connected with them.
Right.
And we just sort of all worked together.
As a team.
As a team to get through that situation.
Right.
You know, now I'm living in Hollywood in my apartment. Cornell is living in Apple Valley in his apartment. Jesse is living in a house in Long Beach.
Okay.
With a lady, a wonderful woman, who pulled him in off of the street.
Wow.
And said, you've got to come and stay with me. And he's been there now for 7 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, it's, I mean, again, it shows you the help is there.
The power of community.
But yeah. It's a power, yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, friends have to become family, you know.
They do.
That's and a lot of people are shunned by their families. They don't have family anyway. And the ones they have, they're not in communication with or support.
That's
but
right.
It's, so when you see now how the epidemic of homelessness is just getting bigger and bigger in Los Angeles. I mean,
oh, yes.
you see it around. We were just talking about.
I see it at work because a lot of the clients
are homeless.
Are homeless.
Right.
And I also meet a lot of people from other parts of the country
mm-hmm.
that have come here to get assistance.
Right. What we were talking about.
The company
yeah.
that I work for.
Well, I guess the question for you guys is, do you believe. What do you think? Do you think there are more homeless people today strictly because of economic issues than, because the old cliche was always they're mentally ill,
mm-hmm.
they're on drugs or they're alcohol, you know, it's substance
right.
abuse and it's mental illness and that's mm-hmm. why, and that's why they're out there. Or, you know, or they're mentally ill who don't have medications.
Yeah.
These are the, like things you hear.
Right.
That's right.
But I believe, and I think we see now, this is the new class of homelessness are people who were one paycheck away from
yes.
homelessness.
Oh, yes.
Two paychecks away.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, and we're talking about in LA, it's so expensive to live here.
Yes.
They're not on drugs. They're not mentally
right.
ill.
They're not.
And that's... That's
it's the
new
lack of
phase
affordable
of,
housing, definitely.
Right.
And
yeah,
then what that perpetuates with the poverty cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the breakdown that happens during that, you know,
and
with
the shame of it,
and the shame
and not wanting
and
to ask for help.
Associated. Mm-hmm. And then that just compounds the issue, and then it leads, you know, it snowballs into.
You need more organizations like Hollywood Community Housing mm-hmm. Corporation,
yes.
like West Hollywood Community Housing Corporation.
Right.
And they not only put you in an apartment, they don't forget about you.
That's a good point. There's follow-up care.
You have to meet with a resident. I have to meet with a resident services coordinator once a month.
Okay.
And I have to fill out, what do they call them?
The recertification?
No, not the recertification, but like a, what did they call them? Like a flow chart or something. It's a form.
Okay.
That I have to take in to my doctor, to my pharmacist, to my dentist.
I see.
And have them fill
like
it out.
Like a record of.
As a record.
It's like a care plan?
A care plan.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, to show that I'm still in care.
Mm-hmm.
And being taken care of.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that I'm meeting my appointments. Not only that, every year they go over a recertification
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with you as well as the housing authority.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they go through their own recertification and they go through all of your bills.
To make sure you're still qualifying.
Yeah, and that you're not running into any problems in paying your bills.
Right.
And that you're...
That's amazing.
Because Franklin's part of a program called Shelter Plus Care, which is under the HOPWA program, which is the Housing Opportunity with People with AIDS. That's what that acronym stands for.
Which was started by HUD.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Under the HUD program, which is a version of the Section 8 program, but slightly different because of the medical care.
So pretty much, for anyone listening out there, there seems to be a service for whatever category you may fit into. If you're if you're homeless with mm-hmm. HIV, there's HOPA. There's a mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. if you're, I'm assuming pregnant. I mean, there's just so many things, categories to think about.
If you're a family,
substance
homeless,
abuse,
mm-hmm. mentally ill,
mentally ill. Yeah. We have all of those situations in my building, and the people are thriving.
Wow.
And it's low income, and the entire building is Section 8. It's about 30 units.
It's great.
And the people are thriving, and all the neighbors get along well. It's well managed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an important thing.
And there's community events
They're community events. Mm-hmm. But if there's something that goes wrong in my apartment, it's normally fixed within 24 hours.
Wow.
Which I've rented. Outside,
I was going to say. Well, I mean, you know,
and dealt with managers. You can wait forever. You can wait forever to get something taken care of.
Yeah,
but because they are monitored by the federal government, mm-hmm. and you have the inspection by the housing authority, by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
I even had the Department of Justice come in and do a measurement of my apartment.
Wow.
And I said, well, what does the Department of Justice doing measuring my apartment? And I was told by the inspector that within the Department of Justice is an office of discrimination.
Oh, I see.
And that's why they were there.
Interesting.
Yeah, but let's be clear. This is not a handout. There's multiple hoops that he has to jump through in order to maintain all of this. Scrutiny in terms of financial records, mm-hmm. Having to submit bank account information once a year to both apartment management and also to the housing authority. So it's double the work, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of we used to say that it was a part time job.
It is a
just
part-time
to
job.
Maintain just to the maintain, records and everything,
right?
Which again is my point about. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, Franklin's able to do it.
Yes.
But for the people who aren't
high-functioning.
High-functioning. Yes. Thank you. I couldn't think of the words. Yeah. They fall through the cracks.
They do.
Or they can't keep up with the paperwork.
And they end up back in the system, going through the same process and having to wait for God knows how long because of the waiting list being so long.
And that's where you have to work it. Catching people falling through the cracks.
Right.
Yeah, because if you're out of compliance, then
you're out.
It's strict. It's very strict. The research
But it's helpful. I mean, I love my resident services coordinator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so we have an excellent rapport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to her about, you know, people paying rent. you know, because she was saying, oh, I work with some people who have difficulty paying their rent. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, why is that? And she was telling me that there are other things that are going through their life,
mm-hmm.
and they're not meeting the requirements that they're supposed to meet.
Right.
And I have to spend more time and energy working with them to make sure that they don't fall through the cracks,
mm-hmm.
and wind up getting evicted.
Yeah. Because on the flip side of that, it almost seems like not that they're looking for someone to take one misstep, but it's like you can easily be kicked out of the system.
And there's so many people waiting.
Because there are people waiting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People waiting that they want to give a chance to see if they can follow through.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But like we were talking about Skid Row earlier, so, mm-hmm. you know, you think about, I don't know what the numbers, how many, Georgia said, what's the population down there? I forgot, in Skid Row now. Thousands.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, in LA County, it's over 57,000.
57.
Yeah.
I guess I wonder how many of those people are waiting. You know, are they...
Yeah, going through the process.
Are they in the process and that's where they are?
Right.
Well, keep in mind, let's get into a little bit of the facts of how much a person, let's say, that has no income,
right,
living in L.A. County, gets to survive on if they don't qualify for, let's say, SSI mm-hmm. or SSDI. So there's a program called General Relief, and I don't think it's been adjusted for 30 years, but the amount you receive total, guess what you would receive in cash aid that is a grant that needs to be paid back to the county, depending on if you were to come into SSI
That's
or something
correct.
Like that.
Oh, you pay it back.
You pay it back.
Guess how much that
I
is?
I had to pay it back.
Per month?
Per month. Just take a random guess.
Well, I'm assuming it's going to be some low, stupid a number, $300.
Very close.
Very
$221.
Close. Oh, God. Yes. You can't even get Starbucks.
$221.
For that.
Now, you can also qualify for CalFresh, which is food stamps,
right.
But the maximum single person who I believe is not homeless would receive is $192 a month for food. And if you're homeless, then you qualify for the Hot Meals program, so you could use your EBT card, mm-hmm. your electronic benefits transfer card,
right.
at various different places like restaurants and so forth that support EBT. But a lot of restaurants don't want to do that because it turns into homeless shelters mm-hmm. because of the loitering that goes on because they're
right.
off the streets. And
right.
But, you know, it's such an important program for restaurants, for people who are homeless.
Right.
It is, yes.
Do people take it? Do people use that though?
They do.
I did.
Like subways
while I was homeless,
and that really helped, right?
Yeah, it really helped.
Mm-hmm. And delis, hot delis at the grocery store.
Thinking, you know, to that thing we talked about where that you called it bridge. What's the bridge?
The bridge housing,
like mm-hmm. building housing mm-hmm. for
in the parking lots.
Homeless.
Mm-hmm.
What about having restaurants or? Yeah. Places for homeless, you know, like the restaurants or certain cafes.
And there are. I don't know so much
well,
in LA.
They did,
but,
when I was in the voucher system for mm-hmm. the motel, there was a Carl's Jr.'s at, I think now Chick-fil-A is there.
On Sunset?
On Sunset, yeah.
I know where that is, yeah.
But there was a Carl's Jr. and I would go there for my three meals.
So they provided?
A day and they provided the food.
Okay.
They would give me a ticket.
Oh, wow.
That I would take, and then I would order what I needed.
And well, keep in mind, when he receives SSI, he doesn't receive food stamps.
Right.
That's a separate program.
That's a separate
So
program.
He has to pay for food out of the SSI income.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then once you start working, then that income...
It balances
out. Adjust with what they provide or whatever.
Right.
But again, that's
I'm
all...
I'm able to buy food because I'm working part-time. Right.
You don't get penalized for it. You know, because some people get trapped in a
they
system
do.
Sometimes
mm-hmm.
because you can't make too much or you lose a service.
Exactly.
And yet, but you're trying to get yourself out of a situation. So it's a...
Well, back to the 221 for the GR. If you receive any money over $221, they discount your GR receipt. So
right,
you,
they
see,
do, yeah.
So you have to report... every month how much you receive. So if you're making anything over $221, one
who
won't
can
qualify.
Do anything with $221?
I paid for my storage. It was $200.
Well, okay. Well, that's... But that didn't put... Yeah.
It didn't put...
But
fortunately, I was in transitional housing, which was free.
Got it.
And they can forfeit the 221 and turn it into a housing or actually hotel voucher.
Okay.
They were doing that, and I have to go and look and see if that's still going on. But remember that there was a program at one point which would allow you to transfer your 221 into a housing voucher, which was for a hotel stay.
Are there other hotels in LA that are set up strictly for vouchers? Are there all just regular hotels that also honor the vouchers?
I think they're working on getting more, but they've recently started converting hotels into homeless.
That's what I was thinking.
Rehabilitation homes,
which is a great idea, right?
Yeah. Because
I mean,
another one that I stayed at, they no longer take vouchers.
Okay, but so used to it was just sort of like they take so many vouchers probably or an X number, but it was a regular hotel that everybody stayed at,
right?
And paid. Okay. Yeah, and you know, back to Not In My Neighborhood, what do you call it,
NIMBYs.
NIMBYs. Mm-hmm. When we lived in West Hollywood for 20 years, you know, the apartment building next to us, they just happened to have some Section 8 or whatever. Mm-hmm. You could be Section 8, but you didn't have to be Section 8.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it became like this big deal that some of the other neighbors found out that they were Section 8, but they were protesting the Section 8, but these people were...
Yeah.
Section 8 is a phenomenal program.
Right.
That I think that should be encouraged by the federal government, not discouraged.
Not discouraged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's 30% of your income.
Right.
Which makes it affordable for low-income people.
Yeah. So and in Los Angeles, I think a maximum of $50,000.
With the federal and state and housing authority inspections that go along with it, it keeps it well maintained.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that say, not in my backyard, that's not the case.
Right. That's like you know, I said, in my neighborhood.
My building has been there since it was built in 2000. Mm-hmm. And it's been well maintained, and most people are shocked when I tell them it's a Section 8.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, that was my point. Like, the building I'm talking about looked better than most of the buildings on my street that the complaining people were living in. Well, that actually may have been why they were pissed.
That's why they're complaining, yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Well, they're having mixed housing now with all the new units that are being built. They have to have a certain percentage
that's
designated for low-income.
Right.
And those are low-income units that pretty much are comparable to a market-rate unit.
Right.
But what I was saying earlier about the Section 8...
And New York has been doing that for years, by the way.
Probably better than here.
Yeah, so
I mean,
I think...
You know, they've...
You can make maybe up to $50,000 a year and still qualify for Section 8 in Los Angeles. But I think if you go over $50,000, of course, you pay more in rent because you're taking 30%.
And, you know, $50,000 in LA is like...
It's low income.
I mean, anywhere else, $50,000 a year would be...
Yeah.
If my income increase, they just changed it 2 years ago. If my income increase and my apartment is valued at $1,045
a month,
if my income increase and I'm able to pay the $1,045, I can still keep my unit.
Oh, okay, that's good. So you don't get penalized for making more money,
right?
And having
being able to stay there,
yeah.
I guess what's overwhelming for everyone, as we talked about with Georgia, is you just you feel a little paralyzed as to how do you start distributing these funds? How do you make sure the people that need it are getting the services?
You get overwhelmed,
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can see where people want to just turn the other way. They feel too overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, I've been keeping a close eye on, you know, what the county is doing with the homeless programs. And I really think that this is the year, in the last 2 years, it's really been an improvement. I mean, based on what I have seen. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm talking to George about getting more involved, actually working on the streets.
He'd be really good at that. Yeah, don't you think, Franklin, he'd be really good?
I mean, it's always been something near and dear to my heart.
I encourage homeless people to get off of the street and take advantage of the programs that are available.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't give them money. I don't give them food.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them about putting in an application. And even at work, there are people that are looking for housing.
Right.
And I have a list of all of Hollywood Community Housing Corporation has, I think, about in between 10 to 12 buildings.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And I give them the telephone numbers to each manager's office.
Wow, that's great.
Which is under Barker Management.
Which
right?
is under Most Barker them, Management.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if there's someone listening tonight, right, mm-hmm. whenever they're listening to this, and they're in L.A. and they're homeless, say they're in their car,
yeah.
we say the first step is go to the Department of Service,
Social Services.
Mm-hmm.
So you're DPSS.
DPS. Yeah. And mm-hmm. if you don't have a computer
mm-hmm.
or a phone.
Go to the library.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are there actual walk-in places that they could go?
Yes.
Yeah.
At DPSS,
yes,
there are.
There's DPS.
And there's a major application process that's involved with applying for food stamps and for general relief.
But they can just walk into it.
They can walk in and go through it and, you know, go through the process. But it's taxing for somebody that is mentally challenged.
Right.
That's why we're saying it's for the high functioning, sure, mm-hmm. but services really need to be catered to the folks who are mentally ill.
Right, and that's not happening, right? That's not happening.
Not that I can see. I mean, they're working with multiple agencies to mm-hmm. sort of coordinate, you know, better care.
And
that's where social workers come
yes.
in.
Yeah.
Right.
And dealing with the mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to have contact with the social worker.
Social workers.
Case managers are good.
Mm-hmm.
But social workers are more educated.
Right. They specialize
They specialize in dealing with mentally mm-hmm. ill people.
People. Well, yeah. And that's something we want to have on.
We
want to
yeah.
have on a social worker mm-hmm. also who's down in the trenches. And then we were talking about having a politician or someone mm-hmm. in the political arena,
supervisor
mm-hmm. who can talk to why programs get stalled or what they think
yeah.
they need mm-hmm. to actually help. You know, because it's easy to just blame the politicians
right.
or blame whoever's up there, but then I'd love to hear from them in terms of, well, we're doing the best we can do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the buck stops at the governor's office, or each state is different. I mean, I guess it does. I don't know. I'm just so overwhelmed by the whole thing. It's like,
it is overwhelming, and it's so many different angles to cover. So,
right.
I mean, to get the perspectives of all these different folks who different walks of life
mm-hmm.
will help us understand. And I think that's what they're doing with all these agencies that they're working with, is trying to get an overview from their perspective,
right.
you know, from the mental health perspective, from the economic perspective, from, you know, various different.
Sadly, you can't legislate compassion.
No.
You know,
no.
So getting,
right.
trying to get people to want to be compassionate.
And that's where it comes to us. I
right.
mean, that's what, the man in the mirror, you know.
Right.
We have to look at
ourselves
and be compassionate towards, you know, and that's what Georgia was saying, make eye contact. You know,
treat
them like hope.
Yeah.
Just don't treat them like invisible people. And so far, you know, a lot of us do that because we're afraid that we're going to be guilted into doing something, you know, or just it's too much to cover.
You or you don't want to offend people.
Right, right.
Sometimes I don't want to offend them by assuming, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of pride involved with all of us as human beings. And so it's a very tricky, I want to be respectful.
Yeah. I've gone up to a few and offered help before and found out that they were mentally challenged and was yelled at, things like that. So I know that it's a risk.
Right.
But you're right. You don't want to offend. You just want to offer support. And
you don't want them to feel like you're pitying.
Right,
they don't need your pity.
Yes, exactly.
But again, it depends if you're
My neighbors get together every year during the Christmas holidays, and there's a park across the street from where I live, and a lot of homeless people try to settle in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they provide a meal.
Mm.
You know, and they cook there in the park and provide a meal for them to eat.
And Hollywood Community Housing does something
Hollywood Community Housing, for their residents,
they've
been doing it now for 8 years. At their resident over on Western and Hollywood Boulevard in
their
building, they have a party, and they provide you with a meal and entertainment, and they provide you with everything that you would need to make a Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing.
And this year is being held on the 20th of November.
That's great.
And when I say everything that you need, everything.
Including
the turkey, the relatives fighting.
Corn, right.
Potatoes, family members fist fighting.
Family members fist fighting, if you like. I normally either take my turkey out to my aunt and uncle's house in Marina Valley, or I go down and visit Terry and Jesse in Long Beach.
That's nice.
And then we cook it and have a good time.
That's nice. Now, do you have family left back on the East Coast?
My mother's sister lives in Marina Valley.
Okay.
With her husband, and they're ex-military.
Got it.
So they settled into Marina
Valley. So your aunt and uncle.
Yes.
That's nice that you have.
And I go out and I visit them.
Yeah. That's a drivable distance.
Yes,
not too bad.
It is.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, again, I think, JW, let's say we'll put up on our social media pages the links for people.
Yes. Yeah, because it varies from wherever you're located. But we have some people reaching out to us on Facebook, asking for resources and services. I know one gentleman is going through the process of getting his Section 8. So he's already received the Section 8, and now he's going through trying to find a home,
right,
which can be a daunting process, and you have a certain period of time frame to do that within, and so it's challenging, but the resources are there, and it's all about asking for help, really, and trying to be connected to the right people.
And I would definitely remember Hollywood Community Housing Corporation.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and their apartments are managed by Barker Management.
Barker Management.
And Barker Management is out of Orange County.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Everyone can Google Barker Management.
But Barker Management also has their own buildings that are Section 8.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's other companies. We're talking specifically Los Angeles.
Right.
But, we've got a nationwide audience, actually worldwide audience.
Worldwide.
We've got people in France. I mean,
I'm sure they
still
have
increasing. But,
we never talked about homelessness in other countries.
Other countries. I mean, I was mentioning I'm part of that global community, and I was showing videos, and people from all over the world were watching these videos, and they're like, this is Los Angeles? This is America? And they could
not believe what
they were seeing.
Because
it was third world country.
Places like most European countries, because they have socialized medicine, and I bet you they don't have this problem because they take care of them somehow.
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe when you get into some other countries like Venezuela, places right now that aren't doing so well.
If we spent more money taking care of our people than we did on war,
we would
be in a better position.
That's true.
I mean, that's the problem, is that so much is going into defense budget and not into
social. Well, the real dichotomy of LA especially is the wealth ratio with all the celebrity money and just the ungodly amounts of money that people have. It's the have and the have nots, which we've talked about.
Spectrum.
The middle class is pretty much eroding,
non-existent here
in the country, but especially in places like LA, San Francisco, New York, Chicago, your major urban cities.
That's true.
And I think that's what you start noticing, is that family that 2 months ago had the house in the valley with two kids, they were just one mortgage payment away from being homeless, and the father gets injured and he can't work anymore, and
that's all it takes.
It's that, and I think a lot of people just don't think about it.
Right. Well, and then also make it easier to get jobs when you're homeless too, because the job process is not simple.
Right.
You go in and you have to fill out an application. You can't even put in your address because you don't even have an address. So that already starts stigma.
Stigma begins. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. But the good news is there's hope.
Yeah.
The services are there.
Yeah.
There's lots of wonderful people that are compassionate and they have a passion for doing this, for, like we mentioned, the case managers and social workers. And Franklin has, graciously mentioned all these people's names because he knows how wonderful they were to you.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've got people now that mention your name.
And how they are still wonderful to me.
Right. Mm-hmm. But now your path.
It didn't end with me getting housing. These people are still involved in my life.
Which is wonderful.
I mean, he's paying it forward.
Now you're paying it forward with the work that you do.
And I'm paying it forward. I send people to Hollywood Community Housing Corporation, and they say, Franklin sent me.
Right.
And then right away, Consuela Lopez, Courtney Jennings, Sarah, who is the director of Hollywood Community Housing Corporation, these people know me.
Right.
They not only know me, but they know other homeless people like Kenji, a neighbor of mine who goes out and provides toothpaste and toothbrush for the homeless.
Wow.
He's going out tomorrow to talk to a transgendered homeless person.
Because that's a whole new, quote, new community of homelessness. I mean, not new, but you know, there's a huge population of transgendered.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, at work, there were a lot of people, because they come in for benefits services. Right. That are transgender, and I actually I was able to convince many of them to come in for the HIV/AIDS meeting.
Nice.
And talk with them and just talk about the difficulties of being transgendered and being looking for transgender services. It's much more difficult versus men who have sex with men.
Right.
You know, and many times they get shoved into the men who have sex with men instead of
a sexual identity as opposed to a gender identity, which is two separate issues, which has been that way for so long. That's part of the problem. But
which is someone we should get on and actually.
Well, we will. I mean, it just. I mean, our episodes will never run out.
They will always evolve.
There's always going to be a service needed or whatever.
That's
so, well, Franklin, thank you so much for sharing your wonderful story.
An angel,
it's really a pleasure to meet you.
Yes.
And everything JW said about you.
And woohoo to Dr. Ryu.
Yes.
Who works at Ranch Rider Clinic. Yes.
Dr. Ryu.
Ryu.
Got it.
Dr. Jenica Ryu. She.
Dr. Angel.
She works at the clinic 2 days a week.
Yeah.
1 day a week, she works at Skid Row.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then the other 2 days a week, she's a professor at USC.
God bless her.
Teaching people about HIV and AIDS.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. All these people are the ones that should be getting the attention.
They're the angels on earth.
Not Lindsay Lohan and the Kardashians.
Exactly.
Right.
God bless them. But although the Kardashians did go down to Skid Row.
They did. And I did watch that episode for the first time just because I was so moved by the fact that she brought, you know, that into people's living rooms that they've never seen before.
Has she been back?
I don't know. I haven't. But just the fact that it raised awareness and exposure. If you can,
that's true. Yeah. And all kidding aside, it is about raising awareness. Yeah. And that's what they did.
Yes, they did.
So God bless them.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
JW,
thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Everyone, please, you know, check out social media pages and we'll be back. And also thank you to BS Podcast Networks. Every other Thursday, our shows are on. And this one will be on sometime.
And our associate producer, Brandon, here at Temple Bay.
Yeah, we want to say welcome aboard to our new, thank you, JW.
Sure.
Brandon's been our technician.
Yeah.
For the time that we've been here, but now he's coming on board as a producer as well. So I'm very blessed to have all these very smart people around me. So everyone, thank you so much. Be kind, be thankful for what you have, and much love.
Gratitude.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for checking out One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Check out past episodes and get the latest as they're released. Subscribe today on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle. It took 15 minutes to click on the banner ad entitled, "You Won't Believe What These Child Stars Look Like Now." Be dissatisfied, and kinda sad, about how the child stars look. And now your computer is plagued by incessant pop-up ads.
Oh, this can't be good.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 clickbait minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on homeowners insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you have a cute little reading nook for those rainy days when you want to curl up with a good book, but you don't even read, so you just sit in there during thunderstorms and scroll through memes on your phone and laugh in the darkness. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the dark, meme-filled corner you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on homeowners insurance.